And the Lord called unto Moses, and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer it. Let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. He shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 12. And for Harry's benefit, he's got a permanent phylactery. 12:19. Take heed to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth.
We already had.
Huh?
We already
No.
I heard amen.
12:13. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest.
This is one of those obscure things.
Did we study this scripture in here in Bananas?
No, I don't know. We did it Tuesday night, but Larry wasn't here. Pam was here.
Right, you were so busy yelling, you probably forgot it.
Okay. So we have two places. If any man of you choose by your own voluntary will to make a burnt offering, you shall make it, but you can't make it wherever you choose. You cannot make it at the place that sounds and seems pleasing to your sight. You cannot make it I want you to try to get it. This is pretty complicated. I wished I had all kinds of charts and whiz-bang things for this one, but holograms. Everything that we are about, made in the image of God, is for one reason and one reason only eventually, and that is that we would be in agreement, in harmony with God. God has moved through all of time and space and put us here. The only reason you exist, from God's perspective, and that's the only one that has any merit, the only reason you exist from God's perspective is so that you can make a burnt offering at the proper time and the proper place. You always have known that. You've known it since the moment there was self-awareness. There has never been a time when you didn't know that your function was to make this burnt offering. You've given it 1,000,000,000 times 10,000,000 names. You've tried to make it at 1,000,000,000,000 times 10,000,000 places. But there is a part of you that always knew you were only here to make an offering. Now, God's... I don't want to make this sound like free will, so excuse me if I am, but... God's business in the equation of the offering is to provide the place. Your business is to provide the time. the appointed time. That's why all of the blessings in Israel, never even at the temple, didn't bless the place. They blessed the time. Blessed be thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has guarded us, who has protected us, who has allowed us to reach this time. God had provided the place. Now in you, the place has always been here. You just didn't know it. It's the overriding reality. It's one of these space science fiction kind of films in which there's this shimmering light, and all of a sudden all the particles in front of you break apart, and there's the New Jerusalem, the altar. It's always there. It's always there. I mean, there's never a time when it isn't there. It's just because it's always God's place. It's always God's job to provide the place. And the place is always sure. It's an anchor. It never moves. It's your job. Your only reason for being born is to provide, to reach the time when it can be of your own voluntary will. You understand?
Yeah.
This is what everything in this Bible points towards. Now, it doesn't do you one iota of good to say, well, burnt offering is a type of Jesus Christ. You know, you could get by with that in the sin offering and the trespass offering. You could get by with that in the ashes of the red heifer and the waters of purification and the waters of jealousy and all that kind of stuff. Because in all of those things, yes, Christ was. Christ was. But now there's a new dimension to the equation. Now it's your voluntary will that makes the offering. Now, voluntary will in Hebrew doesn't mean the same as voluntary will does in English. Voluntary will in Hebrew has the idea that it has the component that your identity has been this diamond, and you are really just a hunk of stone, and all of the things that have taken place in your life have cut off a facet of that diamond, and finally it reaches the point where no more facets can be cut off of it. And when you reach that point where no more facets can be cut off the diamond, then you're in. Then it's your voluntary will. You understand me? So God's provided the place, and it's always been there, and He'll never leave you or forsake you. And that, I mean, idiots read that He'll never leave you or forsake you, and they take it to mean He'll never leave you or forsake you in your apostasy, and they make great speeches about it. The real meaning of it is He'll never leave you nor forsake you with regard to His purpose. Now these are hard sayings, but He's long-suffering, so He sort of lets you run around and do your stuff for a while, because He sees that that is simply cutting another facet off that impure diamond. But now He's just about to cut the last facet off, so you can have and be in your own voluntary will. Now the key to this is mind-blowing in terms of its internalized psychological stuff. Do you all agree with what I've just said? Understand it? You have tried, we've spent so much time on this, but it's got to penetrate you that you have done nothing in your entire life but try to offer a burnt offering.
Yeah.
You've offered the wrong thing at the wrong time at the wrong place. Now you got the right thing and the right place. The only question is, do you have the right time? Okay, now, let's talk in terms of this phenomenon of offering, place, and time. Go to Galatians 4. You know what's really neat? This sounds dumb, and I don't mean to sound make it, but it's really neat to be able, I had no idea I was going to say go to Galatians 4 just then, but it's like the thing that we watched this thing in the mine the other night, mm-hmm. And it's the deals where there's so much immersion in this that it's like second nature. I mean, it's not a...
Yeah, yeah. That's weird too, because I was talking about that, because in the middle of my Bible study, the same thing, I could see that, you know, instead of, you know, I have some things written down, but then when we get into a conversation, you know, then we're just all of a sudden we're going places, and
yeah,
you know,
right,
and it's
right.
It's all popping together, and it's nothing, you know, where's it coming from? It's coming from God, you know.
Did you explain things that you don't know where they came from? Now, are you going to be surprised when we get here, or do you know what's here?
No, I know what's here. Galatians 3:19.
The problem is he always goes a little past his close.
Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Now, that doesn't mean anything if you're just reading the scriptures as history. You have to see that the mediator, that it's this covenant point that you, Al Franken, and God himself are the only parties involved. Can you, that's what it means. A mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Now, till the seed should come, till the seed should be revealed, in whom, or to whom, the promise of the covenant was made. In this case, the promise of the time for the burnt offering is revealed. Come means parousa. Just means revealed. Now, every earthen vessel on the face of the earth has to confront this scripture. What serveth the law? The law is the strength of sin. You've gone and gone and gone and gone and tried to get it right. You've gone and gone and gone and gone and tried to find an acceptable offering, an acceptable place at an acceptable time. The law has always prevented that from taking place. You've never, ever, ever yet found the right offering, found the right place, found the right time. Because all of those other places and times and things were simply the cutting of the facets of that diamond. Till a seed should be revealed to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now the mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law against the promises of God? That's what you think. That's the thing that all men think, because all men can only personalize the promises based on their own... But no, it's based on the way they're made. You're made subject to vanity, not willingly. You can only personalize the promise. You're made that way. I mean, I'm going to preach it, but if I, it's what I said so often, if I ever preach anything that you can do, you know, I'm not preaching.
Yeah, forget that.
Is the law against the promises of God? No, God forbid. Why? Because the law was the instrument of, it was the diamond cutter's knife to cut the facets perfectly. Do you see that?
Another place is the schoolmaster.
Well, it's right up there. That's what we're going to get to. God forbid, for if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. If there was a system of thought which could have worked, Forget this stuff. Let's go do that. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. Why? That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were, past tense, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. The faith, in this metaphor, is the perfectly cast diamond. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. The schoolmaster here, that which shaped the diamond. You got it? To bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Faith is the perfect diamond. Love is the perfect diamond. The burnt offering is the perfect diamond. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing at all from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Well, that's, you know, in your travails, in your sufferings, in your depressions, in your trials and tribulations, you gotta finally come to the conclusion that all of them have been mental. I mean, you gotta know that by now, right?
They've all been
your response to not getting your own way. If you got your own way, you're not depressed. All right. The heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Now, the time appointed of the Father is the time for the burnt offering. It's the offering itself, and it's the place of the offering. All coming together in your earthen vessel. That's what the Lord's Prayer means when it says, "May thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." All of it points to this one place, time, and offering. Everything else you've ever done is meaningless until you reach this point. And everything you've ever done has only so you could reach this point. The law hasn't been against the promises of God, God forbid. The law has been that which has caused you to reach this time. All your depressions, all your sufferings, all your angst, all your weirdness has only been to reach this time, the time of the burnt offering. The number one thing, the primary concern of the Father. Okay. But it has to be in the time appointed of the Father. Now, Christ now... Well, let me read a couple of verses here. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of time was come, or is come, God sends his Son, made of the law, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that you might receive the adoption of sons. Now, the adoption here now is this, we're talking about in truth, the rites of passage, the toga ceremony, the rite of the ring, the rite of the staff, the rite of the scepter, the rite of the birth. All the promises of God are given in a moment. You've always had them. But the moment when the offering, the place, and the time come together in you, in that perfectly cast diamond, is when all this comes in a moment. That's what it means to redeem the time. Everything else is unredeemable. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption. Huiothesios is the word. The placing, the full placing of a full, mature son. No longer tutors, no longer a child, no longer an adolescent, no longer a carried to and fro and about and everything. And it's the placing of the fullness of the son with all the rights and authority of the Father. And that's what you've been talking about, that feeling. And because now you are sons, God sends forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Daddy.
So up until that point, you're not praying like that, are you not?
Huh?
You might not pray like that until that point.
Oh, that's right. You can't. Not only you might not, it's impossible.
Well, that's interesting.
Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. Son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Full heir. Okay. Now, in order for that to have taken place, that took place in a moment in time in Christ. But that is replicated in a moment of time in you. And it's replicated at the time of the burnt offering. Now, Jesus Christ, you got to understand this. He stood as a man, just as you are, under the law. And as under the law, his acceptance depended on his perfectness. You got to get that in your head, or you'll never understand the rest of it. Under the law, his acceptance depended on his perfectness. Perfectness in the eyes of God and in his own eyes. Mm-hmm. And if it wouldn't have taken place in his own eyes, it couldn't have taken place in the Father's eyes.
That thing, when he was 12 years old or something like that, it says, and he went and grew in stature with God and man.
That's exactly what
that's
it means.
That's the man.
That's right. Now, God had made man, Adam, you, upright, innocent. But you, man, all men, had sought out many schemes, many inventions, many plans to make yourself accepted, to make yourself ready for this offering, both in history and in you, all of men. Now, no son of Adam ever met, I can get really, you know, you can get really religious. No son of man could meet the just demands of God. Well, that's true. But no son of man could meet his own demands. Both of them had to be true. It's a given that Jesus Christ accepted or made, was perfect under the demands of the Father. But the thing that you have never seen, we have never really taught about, was it was not only that he was seen as accepted by the Father, he accepted himself. That's a whole new dimension of life. And the time appointed of the Father for the burnt offering could not have taken place until Christ's own voluntary will was at the point of that seeing himself as the perfect offering. You got it? Mm-hmm. Now, there was none righteous, no, not one, but his own Zeruah, his own seed, hath gotten him the victory. Now, that's true in history, but now it can be true in you. Now is the time for you to see that you are perfect by God's standards, and you're perfect by your own standards. Now, this is revolutionary. Anything else is a lie of the Antichrist. And you don't have to accept that lie anymore. You've got to see that in God's, when we get into the, I want to study Revelation so bad, but it calls you all of the various different gems. Mm-hmm. They look different, they have different, the primary difference of the gem is they respond to light differently. But every one of them is perfect. And every one of you are perfect. Now, when you can see this, and I think I feel it, that you are about to see it or have seen it, then I have completed my course. I have presented you perfect in Christ Jesus as the burnt offering.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Then, now, believe it or not, now for the first time then we can be about the Father's business. Selah, think on this.
That's a good thought.
That in the economy of God, you are now ready. Now, your mind may tell you, no, I'm not. That's not your job. That's my job. Don't do my job for me. My job is to say to you, with the witness of the Spirit and the witness of the Father and the witness of the Word, that you are now perfect. By your own voluntary will, as we described what that meant, now you can be a sweet savor unto the Father. And your mind has to lose the battle. By one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, that's the gospel, folks. That's the end result of a renewal of your mind. Now you can cast down every imagination that says that's different. You can cast down every emotion that says that's different. You can, with a word, change the course of history. You can forgive sin. You can retain sin. Now, for the first time, you can stand. You can finally approach the altar. You've gone through the door. That's all the scriptures about the door. You've been always his sheep, but you've been outside the sheepfold, screwing around, doing all kinds of weird stuff. Now you can return to the sheepfold. Now you can go in and out at will. You can trust that you'll never hear another voice. I guarantee you, you'll never hear another voice. Now, but the exciting part is now that's just the beginning. Amen?
Yeah,
amen.
Now, trust me in this. When you read the New Testament with this understanding, it'll explode. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is the end result of his righteousness.
Is experiencing the burnt offering the realization of this? I mean, are those things the same thing?
Experiencing the burnt offering is...
Suddenly you look around and there's fire to burn and you go, oh, here I am.
What do you mean? But you got to see it. From the standpoint of the economy of God, now we've just entered the door. Now that's just the beginning of everything. Now comes all of the excitement of going from the burnt offering to the laver, to the candlesticks, to the showbread, to the altar of incense, to the ark, to the mercy seat. And we have one goal. You know, externally, we are always now accepted in the brethren. There's never a point, there's never a place where our minds can lie to us. But more importantly, from God's economy, Now we are equipped, or just about equipped, to take the seals off the ark. And you take the seals off the ark by understanding the seals. Now, I promise you something. All of you like ooey-oo stuff. This is the ultimate ooey-oo stuff. This is the big ooey-oo. What?
So you've got, what I was trying to clarify was, at the door, you've got to know this to make the walk.
Yeah.
And because otherwise you couldn't get in the door.
Couldn't get in the door.
You'd be in doubt about whether you would really even, you know, want to get there. So once you know this, then you begin the walk to the to this point, the mercy seat. Where exactly are we going here?
We're going to the altar? Well, first we're going to the altar.
To get all burned up.
Then we're going to the labor.
Can I understand?
Then we're going to the candles. We finally find out the seven spirits of God and the stone with the seven eyes. Then we go to the table of showbread. Then we go to the altar of incense. Then we go through the veil. Then we look at the cherubim. Then we look at the mercy seat and climb on it for a while and feel comfortable, because then we open.
Then we open. We're not going to feel comfortable after.
Then we open the ark.
Then it's history.
Then we're sent to seven geometrically opposite points on the globe.
With a little bit of
splits open.
I was thinking that, you know, when God said to Cain, if you do well, you're accepted, and if you do not do well, then the offering is at the door. I mean, it's like, you know, that Cain was second generation. I mean, he wasn't that far from the door. I mean, mankind has been receiving from the door all this time. It's like, that's why it's taking us all this time just to get back to the door.
Amen. You know? Now we are at the point where Jesus said, I am the way. I mean, up until this point, he wasn't the way. You were the way.
Yeah.
Now he is the way, the truth, and the life. Without that as the certainty, I mean, you understand, everything else outside this has just been nothing.
Yeah, it's a monumental thing to, for us to even come to this place of thinking that what is happening in here is not about me. I mean, it's that it's all been a type of this life. I mean, just to spend years and years just to get to that point.
Man.
We now officially got into the short grass.
On the long grass.
Something I just saw about the way, you know, all these types that God did. He did all these pictures of everything, and seven this, and eyes, and beasts, and, you know, all that stuff. And it's like, it used to bug me, but I saw a tie-in to God is not, it's like if you're slothful, you won't experience life, and you won't like the type stuff. I don't know how to, it just kind of came together in my brain.
Yeah, you have to be prepared. Well, it's the thing, what Paul said it and Christ said it. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot yet hear them. And the hearing of them is that it's not that you cannot, it's that you cannot. Mm-hmm. Nothing can happen in stealth until you see now that you have not only met God's demands by him being in you, but you've met your demands by him being in you. If you take away nothing else,
yeah.
Nothing, doesn't matter what it looks like. Remember, there's no form nor comeliness, that when you see it, you should desire it. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with the senses. It has to do with faith. Faith demands. But now you must see, ever and always, from now on, and anything else is a lie of the Antichrist, a lie from the depths of hell. Anything that defines something less than your perfection from here, and that's the only source, and from the world, and even from, I mean, is a lie.
That was so clear this morning, that thing with Jacob, afraid to come inside, mm-hmm. because he saw himself as battered and bruised.
And all that any of us would do would just be...
And we wanted him in here more, because he was battered and bruised.
Affection.
Yeah, he's judging himself to be ugly and going to be rejected.
When you were talking about that, I kept thinking about it's a new dimension of, you know, I've learned to be content in whatsoever place I find myself. I mean, that place of, you know, there's, because of the way we are, we say, okay, well, I'm just going to cut off this whatever is that, this place that makes me feel totally expanded. You know, whether it's, you know, some kind of creativity, you know, but it's that perfection, that contentment, that total satisfaction in the way we are.
Right.
And that, you know, that's a big thing to even, to risk that part, to go to that point where you will, you know, risk contentment.
That reminds me of something. Yeah. You believe what I just said, that now you are perfect from God's standpoint, but more important in terms of your day-to-day activities, you're perfect from your own standpoint. Anything less than that is a lie. Now, you got to hear this along with this. Whatsoever thing I command you or tell you, observe to do, thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. But with the understanding that it's perfect. This is absolutely ridiculous stuff from anybody else's standpoint. You realize that?
Yeah, but you realize that. I think we realize that.
Well, I don't care about anybody else. I care about the Father. And the Father, I can guarantee you with a seal, I'll bet my life on it, I'll bet your life on it, that what I've said to you tonight is the truth. And you know it.
The thing about not adding to it or take away from it. Can you imagine, like, it's just the main type of, like, Michelangelo finishes the David or the Pieta, right? And he shows it, and some idiot comes over and puts a hat or paints it or something.
Yeah. Or says, you know, you really ought to have
you ought to take that out of
everybody understand perfectly? Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Take it, big guy.
Go for the clothes.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow night.